Hello and welcome everyone back to another Super Rugby podcast. And if you've been here since number one, you deserve a gold star because those were absolutely garbage. But you're here with your host, Damien Warren and
Toby Harris.
Now, we always do a run through of this, Toby, to get the sound checks right. And you said what?
I did say that this was the worst intro I've ever heard from you.
And what was my response?
I don't know. I can't remember.
I think it was no. It's the worst one was when you did it, mate.
Oh, your village. Hey, that's not very nice.
I've got a disclaimer to make. Actually, I'm away today and you're away on Monday. So we're recording this before all the games have been finished. Three games have taken place, which we will very, very briefly talk about. But today's going to be a little bit of a special. We're going to go into a little bit more detail about world ranking, club rankings. The quiz is back, Tobes. The quiz is back.
I'm bloody good at the quiz, eh?
No. And we're going to preview games as well as our listeners' questions, which we're going to move on to right now, Tobes. So you want to take us away for the first one?
So the first one is from a bloke in Pretoria, and he's saying, "Hi guys, don't you think one of the main reasons South African teams struggle against New Zealand teams is because they try to play like New Zealand teams? The times New Zealand teams have gotten beaten are mostly because South African teams took the points on offer rather than go for the try. Don't each country have different strengths and should rather focus on them rather than to play like the New Zealand teams?"
Who's that one from, mate?
Mate, why'd you say that? Because why have you done that to me?
There's the reason why I didn't want to read that one. Do you want to spell it out to him?
No.
Okay, well, let's just say it's from someone from Pretoria.
I said that at the start. You had to call me out, didn't you?
Of course I had to call you out. That is my job, and your job is to do the same to me. We'll have a full disclaimer, put all this on our Twitter. We can't pronounce your name. I'm really, really sorry. Okay, mate, I'll give it one last go. And if I'm wrong, I really, really apologise. I think it's pronounced Casperus. But if I'm wrong, I apologise. Anyway. The answer is yes. It's not that easy. And no. I'll tell you the reason why it's not that easy. Because in past years, the South Africans did do that. They basically played a real grinding type game where they would kick for field position, kick their points, or go for the corner and maul you over. And the big change this year has been how they have refereed the rolling maul, which has led to far more rolling mauls being held up.
Yeah.
So those South African sides are having to come up with different ways of trying to win games.
And they haven't really got there yet, have they?
Not yet. I do think the referees have actually relaxed on some of those rules about rolling mauls, and they're stopping players from what they call swimming rounds now. But for the first like five or six games, literally
harsh, weren't they?
Yeah, I mean, if you had a rolling maul, it got held up.
Yeah.
And that killed the South African teams in the first 5 to 6 rounds. Whether or not the teams have come up with solutions to that, or whether the referees, and I think it is the case, the referees have just loosened up a little bit. So they can still do it, and we've seen it when they've been really successful. They've got a lead. And when they get a little lead,
then they follow it on, don't
they? Then they follow on with kicks and kicks and kicks. The problem is with the South African side, especially teams like the Bulls, the Lions have got a little bit more about their game.
Yeah.
But the Bulls and the Stormers, they will struggle to score tries from distance against really good opposition. So therefore, because of that, they have often not got points early on. The New Zealand teams especially, or the Australian teams, have got early tries and then they're chasing the game. And then because they're having to chase the game, they're then doing things they don't really like to do. Like we saw, I think it was the Stormers or might be the Lions 8, who just can't pass.
No.
So we're asking...
That's, that's right.
We're asking players who are very, very good around the rucks and mauls.
But you also wonder how those sorts of players have got into their positions with the lack of skill. You know, passing.
Yeah, but do you know what I mean, South Africa is a country of sun, isn't it? It's a country of good weather in general. So why on earth have they kind of grown up not throwing the ball around?
Yeah.
I can understand that in England, can't you, where the weather is absolutely atrocious.
Let's not get into that sort of
But, you know, you think New Zealand, you think Australia, you think South Africa, you think Argentina, you think Japan, you think all good weather, all good ground conditions. So surely you've played running rugby since you were wee. But they don't. It doesn't look like that.
That's what I mean. It was just...
So the answer is yes, they should play their way. I think now they're going to go back to that because the rolling mills have been almost sorted. And now it'll work again.
Yeah.
It'll work again. So yes is the answer. They should play their way, but it didn't work for a start of the season. And we'll probably see the results go more and more and more into that South African favour. Okay, so this one's from Al. And Al is a New Zealand-American currently living in California.
God, get me there, eh?
Oh, yes,
get my Speedos on by the beach.
Mate, if I went by the beach by my Speedos, I think everyone would leave. Anyway.
here.
Last July, they held the World Series Sevens tournaments in San Francisco. And it was great to see people genuinely excited and take interest in a sport that normally takes a back burner to other sports in the US. I'm keen to know how you think we can transition the excitement of the three-day world tournaments to support all-year-round rugby, not just on the world stage, but clubs, smaller leagues, or even a handful of super rugby-styled sort of competitions, which they actually have started out over there this year. What are the certain steps that need to be taken? Is it even possible with so much focus on other professional sports?
The World Series tournament. Sevens, mate. World Sevens tournament.
Yeah. Did I not say that? No, sorry, mate. Sorry. Well, first up, the Americans are amazing at sevens.
Yeah, I know. And that's why they get so much support.
We have had, which you wouldn't know about, Toast, because you don't even deal with anything when it comes to technology on the Super Rugby podcast. We've had a number of people.
Hey, I've got a laptop. You used my laptop a couple of weeks ago. I don't know how to turn it on. That's why I gave it to you.
But we've had a number of people from America saying that the game is growing and growing and growing.
Mm.
And some of those people have said, which was really interesting, the main reason why it's growing is because, one, you can see it on TV in certain parts of America now.
Yeah.
Especially with, you know, the old IPTV services, which is Internet Protocol Services, mate, which you might know about.
Well, how and what was that, sorry? IT what?
So they can see it now. But the other reason why, which I thought was really, really interesting, was lots of NFL players or lots of American football players are coming to play the game.
Converting now, aren't they?
And they're loving it
because
they get to do stuff for 80 minutes. Whereas normally they just sit on the sideline.
5 hours.
Well, yeah, but they also sit on the sideline, don't they? For like long portions of the game.
They're constantly moving and it's only 80 minutes. Doesn't take up your whole day.
Yeah. And the other thing they're loving is the fact that they get to call the plays. Whereas normally on an NFL kind of setup or American football, it's the coach.
Yeah.
Coaching staff are saying, do this, do that. They're almost like, they feel like they're like robots.
Yeah.
Whereas when they're playing rugby, they're like, wow.
It's more off the cuff, isn't it?
Off the cuff. They're making the calls out on the pitch. There is no interaction between the coaches and the players apart from water boys and stuff coming on. So I think they're doing a lot of things right already. What do you think they need to do more to get it really going, Tobes?
Well, for a start, they've got that league now, don't they?
They've got their professional league.
Yeah, they've got their professional league. I just think they need to get in a few Australian South Africans just to bump up the skill level. Not saying Americans aren't skillful, but they haven't played the game as long or they haven't been bored up with it from, you know, as we were saying, whippersnappers, exactly. Advertising. But America are very good at advertising, aren't they? Let's be honest.
Very, very good.
Yeah.
Americans are very good at supporting stuff as well. So they're a bit like England. They're a country that supports.
Well,
so
if they get a state by state by state, especially if it's constantly or consistently on television, then people are going to watch it. People are going to slowly be like, oh, rugby, what's this? You know, it's a new sport, isn't it?
And everyone likes to watch stuff that you're good at.
Yeah.
So, you know, getting people to watch the sevens is what's happening at the moment. You know, some of those guys are becoming well known in America. Yeah. So they're doing lots of things right. What I would say is you need exactly what Toby said. You need to make it consistent.
Yeah.
Accessible consistently.
Bestro,
he's coming over to play in the American League. And they're actually starting to say maybe Brian Habana is coming out of retirement to get a big paycheck in America.
See, there you go. And that's what the sport actually needs. They need a couple of superstars or ex-superstars so the Americans are like, oh, there's someone really good playing. I don't know him, but why is he so good?
And we've got a French international, we've got a New Zealand international.
Yeah. We've got a Damien Warren. Are you going over? You heard it here first, people.
Mate,
The
only way I'm going over there is you're paying for my ticket, mate. So I think they're doing lots of things right. I think it's a matter of time. There's a lot of money. There's a lot of support.
Yeah.
I think that people will get behind their team. And once they're behind their team, you know, they're fanatical about sports in America.
It's almost a religion, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So lots of things well. Mate, it's another voice question.
This is good,
next
consistent. As we were saying earlier about... In America, it's consistent. Getting a voice message.
We're in your homes consistently. Anyway,
was village.
Are you going to go for the magic button number 3?
Is it number 3?
Yeah, let me just turn up the sound so we can hear the question.
Okay. What if I push number 1?
We'll have the intro again.
Oh, okay. I'll push number 3. What's on number 2?
I don't know.
Hi, guys. My name is Ryan and I go to Loughborough University. Just want to say that I love the podcasts. So my question's related to one of the previous questions where you looked at if a Super Rugby team would beat another team whether they entered in sevens. But my question was to do with, would a 15, so the best Super Rugby player, be able to beat the Lions? And if so, how much do you think they'd beat them by? Do you think it'd be close or not? Thanks.
Well, for those that don't know what the Lions are, British Lions are a collection... That's actually the British and Irish Lions. You wouldn't want to hack off those Irish people. Scotland, Wales. That was poor.
That was poor, man. That was real poor.
England.
Yeah.
Ireland. Have I missed anyone?
Mate, you've said Ireland twice.
Have I said Ireland twice? So well, that's how good they are.
I'll start again. So we've got England, Wales, Scotland and Ireland. So 4 nations... Bought into the Lions.
Every 4 years.
And they go on tour. So they've just recently been to New Zealand. Yeah,
let's not talk about that. They drew it.
Yes.
But you need to go watch the 3rd test and tell me whether or not they deserve to draw. Watch the 2nd test and see.
Well, just watch all of them.
Yeah, watch all of them. It's a great trilogy of, just say it as a movie.
A mix of emotions, to be fair.
So... What Ryan's question is asking is if we got New Zealand, Australia and South Africa together, best players, would they beat the Lions?
Yes.
Yes, I think they would. Now, my reasons for it is this. The problem with the Lions is that they don't like each other.
No.
So, you know...
They don't really get along, do they?
You've got, you know, the Scots who had, I think, 1 player in the squad. I don't know why. Finn Russell should have been there. Shout out, Finn.
My boy Finn.
He should have been there. Easy. Yeah. But they don't like the English. The Welsh don't like the English.
No.
There's a bit of a constant theme. The Irish don't like the English.
No. What is the common theme, mate? Is it England? God. No one likes the English.
I like the English.
No, yes.
My wife's English.
Ooh, that's awkward.
So for me, the New Zealanders, the Australians, everyone thinks we don't like each other.
Yeah.
And there is an element to that. But it's just...
I think it's just on the field, isn't it?
It's just on the field, yeah.
And the thing is that after a game, you see the handshakes and everyone's talking with each other, aren't they?
Yeah. So that wouldn't be an issue, it's a big issue for them. And they always say that, you know, you can go and look at stuff online on YouTube. They always say it's an issue that they've got to deal with. There's always an issue with coaches being selected and everyone gets out of whack and, you know, it's like they don't want to tell each other their secrets about coaching. So there wouldn't be those issues. They would need to do the same thing. Who, you know, would they'd be playing the Lions? So they'd have to go on tour.
Yeah.
They'd have to have a build up. But I can't see any reason why they wouldn't beat the Lions. What I would say is it wouldn't be an easy game. I don't think they'd win by much.
No. I think they might, though. That's the thing. If the Lions came to a sunny spot.
Yeah, that's very true. Sunny spot.
Yeah.
Let's just say California.
Yes. Oh.
That'd be good, wouldn't it? Good for the world game. Whoa.
Good for the world game. Hey, we might even go and watch.
I'd go and watch.
I'd bring my speeds. I think it would be close, but it just depends on how long the build-up is, you know, how many weeks or how many months do we get to train together and all that sort of thing.
The problem would be that, you know, obviously they'd want to be doing the same thing.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
We'd be wanting to do the same thing at the same time, so you wouldn't have the quality opposition to play against.
No.
But as a one-off game, it would be awesome, wouldn't it? You could even just do like the British and Irish, like Barbarians side, and give them, let's say, 2 weeks to work together.
Yeah.
And, you know, a Sanzar team. I'm going to mute that. I would like to coach that team. I'll take about $1 million just to coach it. Do your deal.
Can I be an assistant?
No. Okay. Yes, of course.
Dan. I'll be a reporter, mate.
You could be the technical advisor.
So, Damo, how do you think the game's going to go?
We're going to smash them. So, my answer is yes, but I think it would be an incredibly close game. Yeah. Be brutal.
But like you said, it would be great for the world game.
It'd be amazing, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Be amazing, and it would be something that genuinely I would love to go and watch, and I'd pay a good amount of money to do that.
Yeah,
that is the end of our wonderful listeners' questions. Yeah. But Toby, we never plug ourselves enough.
No.
So how do they get hold of us? How do you get your questions answered on this program?
Ah, okay. So we've got the Twitter, and the Twitter is Damien, because I never go on it. Well, I've never been on it. Is it at Super Rugby Pod?
Yeah. You're good, are you? Yeah. Listen to me.
It's called Memory.
The Gmail, you can either send it to the Super Rugby Pod or Super Rugby Pod. I've covered both bases there. And really, other than calling us direct, which we wouldn't recommend, that's about it, really, to get hold of us.
Have we put our numbers on? No. Let's not do that.
Especially not yours, mate. You get too much action coming in, would you? Up next is we are actually going to look at the world rankings, something that we brought up in a past episode and put on our Twitter, and we're going to go through that next.
So, Damien, a couple of weeks ago, we put on the Twitter about the world rankings for clubs, and this is the first time I've actually had a look at it, and me oh my oh boy, it looks a bit fishy, doesn't it? Who's put this together?
Okay, so I mentioned in numerous podcasts ago, many moons ago, that I thought this was interesting, and I was going to do some research into how they got this list up. Okay, so I found out why they've got this in this order. What they've done is they've taken the South African teams who have played in Europe, and they've equated all the results from that season and them playing in Europe into this. Now, can I just put out there a few little things? I'll name you the top nine teams there. We've got the Crusaders first, fair, I think.
Yeah.
Saracens second. Yeah, you can't really knock that.
No.
Leinster, okay, I'm kind of happy with those two. Then you got Stud. You've got Munster. You've got the Glasgow Warriors. You've got the Exeter Chiefs. You've got Clermont. And then you've got, is that?
Ulster.
Yeah. Now, all I've got to say is, are all those teams better than the British Lions?
Oh, no.
They're not, are they?
No.
Now, you name a team on this list that beat the British Lions when the British Lions came over to New Zealand.
Well, the Blues did. Now, the Blues are all the way down. I can't even see them. The Blues are 45th. And I tell you what, they've gone up 58 places. So where were they?
I know, mate. I didn't put them on this page. That's all I've got to say. So it's absolutely bananas. Now, why is it flawed? Is because those South African teams that came across to play in Europe, they weren't even their Super Rugby teams. They were like the Currie Cup team, which is, it's a bit like in New Zealand, the Mitre 10.
Well, no, which is it called Mitre 10?
Yeah, Mitre 10. Which is like a training ground for the Super Rugby players. So they've taken those teams and they've said, oh, they didn't do very well in Europe. So therefore, the whole of, you know, Super Rugby teams are rubbish. So whoever has put this together, And I'm not going to name names because they're probably far more intelligent than us, which I know is not difficult.
But it's all done on stats, isn't it? This is absolutely mind-boggling. So the Bulls.
Good team.
Won Super Rugby a couple times.
Yeah.
Recently. They're 37th. What?
The Hurricanes, 10th.
Yeah. I don't get it.
The Lions, double Super Rugby finalists.
Yeah.
23rd.
And the Jaguares.
Yeah, Jaguares, mate.
They're 20th.
Hey, mate, we've actually got an offer from a Spanish teacher to teach us how to say the Jaguares properly.
Do we actually?
Yes.
Oh, gosh. Oh, that's embarrassing.
But we need that help.
We do. But then we've got here, you know, the Bristol Bears. Who are they? I've never even heard of them.
I'm pretty sure they come from Bristol.
Well, obviously, but...
They are ahead, significantly ahead, than the Bulls, the Blues, the Sharks, the Stormers. I mean, where are the Chiefs?
The Chiefs are just above them.
Oh, my God.
So they're 2 points above.
So I'm really surprised. My God. Do you know when whoever produced this, they must have thought, well, that's not right, but I'll do it anyway.
I don't really know what to say.
But that's the reason why. So I did say to everyone that I'd do some digging, I'd find out why the list was what it was, and I'd get back to them. And I found out, and that was actually given to by the guys from Rugby Forecast. He had a look at it. He did all the background research, which he probably just read a few paragraphs that we didn't read. Graham from Rugby Forecast, and he told me that information. So
really?
Very, very interesting, isn't it? So how do you think they should judge them in the future? Very, very simply for me.
How?
Have a little tournament. Take your top, maybe four teams from Super Rugby. Take your top four teams from the Heineken Cup.
Yeah.
Play each other. There you go, mate. We, again, would manage. We would, again, be present.
I could report on this.
We could report on this and make some money. But that's exactly how they should do it. Now, is it ever going to happen? Is that realistic? Probably not. But what would be more realistic is just to have a final against the Super Rugby champions and the European Cup champions. And let's just say that kind of gives you some weighting on the other positions.
Yeah, agreed. I still can't get over that. I'm going to have a look at it again.
Yeah, and I will put this on our Twitter page later on, probably Monday, for people to have a look at, just to see how crazy it really is. Now, if you're in Europe, you probably go away thinking, we're brilliant. And I think, actually, European rugby is improving. Definitely a very interesting article come out on Rugby Pass. Shout out to Rugby Pass. Where they've looked at all the players who are leaving Super Rugby at the end of the season, and they've put together a team. What a team that is.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you got Pollard.
Yeah,
yeah.
True.
You got Wasaki Naholo.
Yeah.
You got Sam Whitelock.
Is Sam Whitelock going?
Yeah, he's going. He's still going to play for New Zealand, apparently, but he's having a sabbatical.
Oh, where's he going?
He's going to Japan, mate.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Big money in Japan. Squire.
Oh,
there's no weaknesses there. No weaknesses at fullback. Ben Smith, you know?
Is Ben Smith going?
You know he's going.
He's ruined my day.
I can't believe.
Where's he going?
He's going to Pau in France.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
He's going to live the life over there, isn't he?
I hope you take speedos, Ben.
Hey, you know what? Ben is not a speedos man,
Do you not reckon?
Ben,
I reckon.
Wetsuit.
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 Yeah, get burnt pretty quick.
Do you know what, mate? Ben would be on the beach wetsuiting it up. Definitely, if not wetsuit, like board shorts.
Boardies, yuck. Kneeling boardies. Can I just say, though, we're doing a lot of shout-outs. I wonder if anyone's shouting us out.
Hey, that's one thing that people could do is retweet our links and stuff like that. That'd be a good shout-out, wouldn't it, Tobes?
Yeah, it would. Yeah.
And thank you for all those people who are supporting us on the old Twitter. And downloading, it's fantastic. Yeah. So, but anyway, that is that. Next up, we're going to preview next week's fixtures. So, Tobes, our predictions for round 16. You start us off.
Blues at home to the Bulls.
I'm going to go Blues.
Ditto, yeah, I've done that.
It could be a good game, though. It all depends on whether the Blues really show up, but I think they will. Well, I think they have to.
I think they have to as well, yeah. Rebels at home to the Waratahs. This could be a great game.
Now, I've gone Waratahs, and the only reason why I've gone Waratahs is because we've just seen the Rebels play. They've looked really, really good, but they've played against the Sunwolves. There's a bit of travelling in there. And I just think that the Waratahs are starting to play some really nice rugby.
I think you're wrong. The Rebels will win. The Sunwolves at home to the Brumbies. Now, the Sunwolves after today's game...
They're battered, aren't they?
They've
been battered the last 3 weeks in a row.
More. Yeah, oh. I think it might even be sick. This is their sixth loss, I think, in a row.
They've just got no squad now, eh? When I'm watching that team out today, I'm thinking, if you looked at that team versus the team that started the competition, yeah, it's like chalk and cheese.
We do like cheese, mate.
So you're going to go for the Sunwolves then, yeah?
The Brumbies are my pick.
Brumbies, yeah, same for me. The Chiefs versus the Crusaders.
Now, I haven't actually ticked one yet, but I think...
Is that because you can't bring yourself to tick the Crusaders?
I think the Crusaders...
You've ticked them all year round, so...
I think the Crusaders will win.
So do I. I think the Crusaders will. But I do think the Chiefs are starting to play, and they've got a couple of new or newish players. Marlowe at 15. He played really well.
He did, yeah.
So there's a bit more to work there with the Chiefs. Things are looking a bit brighter, but I still think the Crusaders will get over that one. Next game, mate.
The Reds at home to the Jaguares.
I think very well done.
You think that's well pronounced?
I'm not gonna go for the Reds. Neither.
I like the way you think, Damo. I'm also going the same result as you.
Sharks v Hurricanes.
Hurricanes are gonna win.
If Beauden Barrett doesn't play, they lose.
You've said it all year, and you've been right.
And I've been right. Well, yeah. I've been right, or I've been very close to being right. Last game.
Lions versus the Stormers.
I've gone for the Lions.
So have I.
But I do think it's a bit of a flip of a coin.
Yeah. There's not much more we can say.
The Stormers need to win.
They both need to win, though, don't they?
I think that's the African competition so tight. So the Australian ones with the Brumbies doing well today.
Yeah.
Mind you, the Rebels have done well today. Yeah. That's pretty tight there as well. The New Zealand conference is pretty tight.
It's tight for second, third, isn't it?
Yes. Now, rugby forecast, again, I just use rugby forecast as a sort of a...
Oh, is that another shout-out?
It is another shout-out to rugby forecast. They've gone for exactly what you've done.
She's got something on your nose.
You literally got something on your nose. Toby has become, all of a sudden, someone that knows exactly what he's talking about. And I reckon you just...
When have I said that?
I reckon... Well, you've gone exactly the same as rugby forecast. So basically, you're as good as the algorithm, right? All I've got to say is, I genuinely pick these before I look at rugby forecast. I'm not sure.
And so do I.
I'm not sure whether you do.
I have never heard of rugby forecast. Instead, you've been brown nosing them the last few weeks, mate. You still got something there. Wet wipe.
All I've got to say is, as you know, I like to do my research.
Yes, you do. I don't.
So that's our predictions for round 16.
Yeah.
And there's not many rounds left. For those that don't know, there's 18 rounds in this year's competition, quarterfinal, semi-final, final, which should bring us nicely to the conclusion of our summer holidays. Really, it is for a lot of these teams, if they lose, that's it.
Yeah.
It's all over Red Rover.
Especially it's coming to the sharp point of the competition, isn't it? So
yeah. They've got to win. So, yeah. You know.
All or nothing.
And... you look at the Brumbies, have timed their run very well.
Oh,
Sunwolves away from home. It might be brilliant for them.
I thought you were going to say the Sunwolves have timed their run badly.
But what do we say?
There was no run.
Let's go back to what we said. Who would get through? Who would win? We said the Rebels would win the Australian Conference.
Yeah.
That still could happen. It's looking less likely. We said the Crusaders would win the New Zealand Conference. That's looking... If they win today, it's certain that they'll win that. We said that the Lions...
Did we say the Lions?
...would win, and we might be wrong on that. We'll have to wait
and see.
We also said who would come last. and we said that the Sunwolves would come last. Yeah. Well, that's happened. I can't remember who we said would come last in the South African conference. And the New Zealand conference, we said the Chiefs, didn't we?
Did we say the Chiefs?
We said the Chiefs, and only because they looked absolutely shocking.
Village. Yeah.
At the time. So we've been pretty good on our predictions there. Moving forward, how do you think the Super Rugby competition is going to go in future years, Tobes?
Well, the thing that I'm worried about is, you know, attendance to the actual matches.
If you're a player, crowds. If you're a player, what's one of the reasons why you'd go and play at certain clubs?
Exactly, yeah, because the turnout that they get.
Money and turnout. Money and environment.
Yeah.
If the environment's great, you might stay for the environment, but if the environment's not great, the money's not great.
Well, then what's the point?
What's the point? Yeah.
It's like any old job, though, isn't it?
Some of these clubs, and especially with the rules that Australia and South Africa have brought in about playing for your country, you can now go overseas and still come back and play in World Cups and things like that. It's going to be very, very interesting moving forward. Next, Tobes, we're going to go over the best ever rugby team in Super Rugby's history. So we're going to look at the Australians, the South Africans and New Zealanders, the teams that we chose earlier.
Argentinians,
of course, yeah. And we're going to say who would be the best 15.
Yeah.
And if it's anything like last week, it might grow to 17 ever to play in Super Rugby.
Yeah.
That coming up next.
So, mate, we've had a wee discussion, haven't we?
We have had a little discussion.
Off air.
Was it a heated discussion? It wasn't, was
no,
it? We were pretty much were in agreement with each other.
Yeah. So, here we go. Now, I tell you what, before we even start, if you have any disagreements or agreements...
Send those to Toby, because I know exactly what he's going to say. Send them to me.
No. Can you let us know on either the Super Rugby Podcast at gmail.com or...
Twitter.
On the Twitter.
At Super Rugby Pod.
Super Rugby Pod. Come on, mate. You deal with it enough.
Number one, who have you gone for? Can I just say, I've had an absolute shocker, and you're gonna go there. I'm gonna cross out that, and I'm gonna put someone else in. But you go number one, mate.
Oz Durant.
Yeah, absolutely, Big Oz. Yeah. We spoke about Big Oz, legend of the game. Looked 55, made me look young. I know that's very difficult.
You're handsome.
You could not move him. You could not move him in those times.
It was a brick wall, wasn't
that
it?
That is his job.
Yeah.
That is his job. Number two, I've gone for Sean Fitzpatrick.
So have I, yeah.
Wonderful player, wonderful leader, wonderful guy as well. I have actually met him.
Really nice guy.
Have actually met him.
I've seen him on TV before, so I've pretty much met him too.
And he was as good as I hoped for.
Yeah.
And that's not always the case.
No, that's right.
Not always the case.
Number three, I've gone Tony Woodcock.
Absolutely agree with you.
Yeah.
Love Tony. Tony is your, if people say, what is a stereotypical Kiwi bloke like? It'd be Tony Woodcock.
Yeah.
A little bit quiet. Coming from two Kiwis that aren't quiet. A little bit quiet. Hardworking.
Yeah.
Likes to go under the radar.
Literally just put his head where no one else would.
Yeah. Absolutely. With this team, we have tried to cover all countries in Super Rugby as well. We have tried. So if there are some slightly odd choices, when it was 50-50, we went for someone not from New Zealand rather than just being biased towards New Zealand.
Number four, mate.
Oh, these were some really tough picks, these, weren't they?
But I think they were, were they though? I think they were pretty straightforward.
Well, one was, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, true.
But the other one, so I've gone for Victor Matfield. You agreed straight away.
Yeah, straight away.
Manicured beard to an inch of his life. I love that.
He had long hair, mate.
Actually, for the one guy who had long hair, do you know why? Because he respected the fact that I don't like long, and he covered it up with a scrum cap.
What about Shabal?
Love
he
Shabal.
He had long hair. I mean, we're not going to pick him, but he had long hair, and he was an absolute bloody ruffian.
He hasn't played Super Rugby anyway, has he?
Did I say he did? I was
literally... We're not going to pick him. He's
okay,
not
right.
even eligible.
Right,
to be
so... Picked. Right, you just need to shut your mouth.
Number five.
Bucky's Bolter.
Yeah, we went for Bucky's Bolter because we just felt you needed that.
The enforcer.
The enforcer. And he is the enforcer.
But then you could have picked Brodie Retallick. Reuben Thorn, not Reuben Thorn, Brad Thorn.
Reuben Thorn.
He was a good player, mate. He was a good player. But he wasn't that good.
No. Brad Thorn.
Yeah.
Yes, we forgot about Brad
Thorn. No, I didn't know.
Imagine Brad Thorn and Bucky Sports in the same team.
The only problem is when you have too many red cards. Because one of them's going to get caught, isn't he? Number six. Who have you gone
now
for?
Now, you've changed your mind on this.
I have changed my mind.
Who have you changed it to?
Matera.
Oh, you're spot on.
Because we didn't go, he wasn't in that eligibility for South Africa, New Zealand, Australia. Yeah. But he comes into this team and he's, do you know, he's 25.
Is he only 25?
He's only 25. Wait for this, though. He's overseas next year.
Where's he going?
Not sure.
Oh, that would have been a good stat, though.
I think he's going to France.
Is he going to sail? I thought he was going to sail.
He might. I don't know. You've asked me a question I don't know the answer to.
No, so why are you trying to pick it out of nowhere?
I just think.
Which is rare. God, get a grip. Right, okay. Number seven.
Richie.
Has to be.
Richie. Who would lead that team?
No, that was gonna be my question at the very end. Who would be the captain?
Sean Fitzpatrick's.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe I'm just a little bit biased. I sort of grew up. Richie was a great player and lead by example and set high standards for the All Blacks. He also changed the culture a little bit when it was going slightly south.
What about Victor Matfield?
No. I just don't know him well enough.
I don't know him at all, mate. I just know his name. He also led from by example, didn't he?
Oh, without doubt.
Yeah.
Just the nicest guy on and off camera, apparently, that you could ask for as well.
Really?
Eight.
Kifu?
Oh, yeah. Now, this was a tough one, and this was one of those ones that kind of go 50-50.
I also said Zinzan Brook, but then you shunned that pretty quick.
No, I just thought that Kifu has had so much impact.
He had a good running game too, didn't he?
Great running game. Yeah. Oh, just a fantastic player. Zinny, amazing. Kieran Reid, fantastic. But we're going to give it to Kifu. We were 50-50 on it, and we just gave it to Kifu.
Yeah.
Nine. Now, this was an incredibly tough decision. Because one thing, you mentioned Aaron Smith.
George Gregan.
We didn't even mention George Gregan at the time. What a player he was. Will Genia, another great player.
Justin Marshall.
Well, Justin Marshall was a great player.
He wasn't great.
No, no.
He wasn't, I'm sorry, but he wasn't a great player.
He was a great player.
He was not a great, just because he was a Crusaders player doesn't mean that he's a great player.
I'm going to say to you this.
We could put this on the Twitter.
We could actually, we could do a whole special on the fact that I know more about rugby than you do and that I normally...
Because you're older, that's it. I'll tell you what, we're putting that on the Twitter.
I agree with you with the fact that Justin Marshall didn't have the natural abilities.
And all it's going to be, you're listening to me now, it's going to be Justin Marshall, legend or not?
No, you said, he's a great player. Okay,
great player I'll put that on. Or not.
Justin Marshall, great player or not?
Yes.
Please vote wisely, everyone. So we went for Joost van der Vesthuizen.
Yeah.
Because you just can't. Wow. What a talent. What a great player. What a competitor.
Yeah.
Had a great passing game, a great running game, a great kicking game. Now, 10 wasn't a difficult pick at all.
No. Very easy.
Dan Carter.
Yeah. Had to be.
Or Major Mearns. Is what you said last week. I really thought you were serious when you did that. No, definitely Dan Carter at 12.
At 12, gone Nonu.
We've gone Nonu, definitely. Yeah. And at 13, I've gone Bunce, you've gone Smith.
Conrad, yeah.
We've had a little bit of support for Bunce.
Yeah.
We will put that poll up this weekend to see who wins that. But for me, it was definitely Bunce because I grew up with him and he was a fantastic player. Understated at times as well. Just always was up for those big games. 11.
Lomu.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but it has to be Lomu, doesn't it?
100%. I don't think anyone out there is disagreeing with that. But who'd you put on the other wing?
Well, I wasn't sure. And then we talked about...
You could go Habana.
Oh, my God. We didn't even think about Habana. Oh, my God.
Rico.
Rico.
Jeff Wilson, you mentioned. Terrible shout. I've gone for David Campese.
Yeah. We've both put that in.
Now, what I loved about David Campese was that he did a few things that were just like... sort of just so cool.
Quirky.
One, he used to play sometimes on the right wing, sometimes on the left wing, but he'd always wear 11. Loved that fact. he also was what kind of the first guy not to go and sort of stand opposite the haka, and he used to go and kick balls down the other end.
Did he really?
Yeah. And the fact
I wonder why that was.
He was scared, mate. I can't remember the name of the winger at the time. He was a big, big fella. Can't remember the name.
Inge the winger.
Yeah. The good story, I think.
Oh god, here we go.
Before the Bledisloe Cup.
If you've got plenty of time, then you'll listen to the whole story. If you don't, just fast forward a little bit.
So Inge the winger, before the Bledisloe Cup, sent David Campese, right? A poster of him, but just half of it. So the bottom half.
Right.
So he sent it in the mail to him. So that he opened up his mail and he had half of Inge the winger.
Right.
The bottom half, which was pretty impressive. He's a big, big lad. And then the day before the game, he sent him the top half.
Was he clothed?
Imagine that. Starkers. That might have been really impressive. So I've gone for, David Campese. I've tried to spell his name. I won't be putting that on Twitter.
Number 15.
You've got Ben Smith, who you're a big fan. I'm a big fan of Ben Smith.
Israel Folau.
Or Christian Cullen or Andre Joubert.
Christian Cullen.
Yeah.
Had to be, didn't it?
I love Andre Joubert, but Cullen, amazing. Folau's pretty close, though.
Folau.
Sorry, yeah. Ben Smith, for me, what a great player. But I just can't put him up there with Cullen or Folau.
No.
But I would put Ben Smith before Joubert.
I'd put him in front of Folau.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I like how we're just saying his name Folau now.
Yeah. So that is our team.
Yeah, that's our team. Bloody good team.
And if you've got a different team, please let us know. There's a multitude there of different things. We talked about Kruger. Should we put him in? Venter. I mean, there's some awesome players that have missed out as well.
Yeah.
Also, someone mentioned Jerry Collins. What a great shout that is. Yeah. Jerry Collins.
God, he was an enforcer. Couldn't he?
He had the biggest guns, I think, out of anyone in the All Blacks ever.
Did he?
Yeah.
I heard a story once that I think they were in South Africa. And the night before a game, someone walked in and he was just out the window just with a fag. I think he was quite a heavy smoker.
I got a great story about Jerry Collins. Oh, okay. Another one.
He always have to one up me, eh?
He was going to play for the Barbarians.
Right.
He was over to play for the Barbarians and he was in the pub and some bloke walked in and said, "Oh, hi, Jerry, big fan of yours. Can you come play club rugby for my team tomorrow?" And Jerry was like, "Yeah, I'll come play. You know, what forms do I need to fill in?" He goes, "Oh, you just fill in a registration form when you get there."
Yeah.
So anyway, the guy turns up to the to his club and he's like, "Oh, lads, you would not believe who I saw yesterday. I saw Jerry Collins and he said he'd come and play for us." And they're all like, he turned up and played for them.
Did he really?
And then he wore their socks. When he played for the Barbarians.
No, he didn't.
He did, yeah.
Which country was this in?
In England.
Really?
Yeah. I have no idea what, you know, it's a story.
Oh, that's a great story.
Great story. And that shows actually the quality of the man.
Yeah.
He just wanted to play some rugby.
He just wanted to play rugby, yeah. Yeah. That's brilliant.
Next up, mate, we are going to, I'm not actually quite, oh, we're going to do the quiz.
We're going to do the quiz. Come on, mate.
Will be the finish of our show. Well, we are going to very quickly go over the games that we've seen already, but we're going to do the quiz, which has been a number of weeks, about a month off, mate.
Yeah.
And I've got some great questions for you.
Oh, God.
But do you have some great questions for me, Tobes? Because you're starting off today's quiz.
Am I?
Yes, you are.
I'm really looking forward to this. Okay, here we go. Number Juan.
Now, can I just say I'm so not prepared for these quiz questions today.
Okay, well, you better be because I'm going to hit you with a few. How many New Zealand teams are in the top five for scoring tries? So the top five most tries scored in the whole competition.
This year, obviously.
This year.
Yeah. Because knowing you, you'd be of all time.
So there's five... Five New Zealand teams.
You can't do that. It's, okay, go on.
Yeah. But how many are in the top five of the New Zealand? So is it four, two,
one or three?
All right, so I'm going to say Crusaders differently.
Okay.
I'm going to say Hurricanes differently. So okay. That's two. Chiefs.
They haven't really scored that many tries, have they?
I know what you're doing. It's their in as well. So that's three. And the Blues, four. You said so the options were...
four, two, one, or three.
And the top five. Well, the South African teams are terrible, so they're not playing in there at all. So it's really the Australian teams. Oh, you know, they're not bad as well, so...
They have been scoring a lot.
I'm going to say four.
Four?
Yes.
You're correct.
Yeah, come on.
You got them wrong.
Oh, did I?
Well, you said... What did you say? You said the Blues.
I did say the Blues.
Yeah, the Highlanders.
Yeah.
So it goes Crusaders with 58, and then Hurricanes, Chiefs, and Brumbies are all on 48, and then the Highlanders are on 46.
Wow. Just shows, doesn't it? Shows.
But it's weird because you wouldn't think that the Chiefs has scored that many tries.
I knew it, mate. Oh, I did think it. That's why I said it.
I knew it. Yeah, I knew it.
Anyway, I've got a theme running for this one, so it's a bit of an educational theme for all those people out there.
Okay.
That's my phone. Cyclem. Shout out to you, mate. In 2017, which New Zealand franchise was the only one to see a decrease in crowd levels? So this theme is on crowd sizes.
Oh, this was poor.
Wellington or the Hurricanes?
What year, sorry?
2017.
Okay.
They haven't really produced them for this year because it's so bad. B, the Highlanders. C, the Blues. Or D, the Chiefs.
God.
So all of the others saw either big increases or slight increases to the numbers, yeah?
So these are decreasing.
This is the only one that had a decrease out of the New Zealand franchises.
Well, I don't think it's the Highlanders. I don't think it's the Crusaders.
Crusades weren't even in there, mate.
Yeah, I'm just, mate, let me answer the question. It's either going to be the Blues or the Hurricanes.
Okay.
Because they've got the biggest stadiums, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know where I'm going with this. I'm going to say the Hurricanes.
You're going to say the Hurricanes?
Yeah.
You'd be wrong.
Yeah, okay.
It was actually the Highlanders.
Really?
Yes.
That's surprising.
But that's because they had big crowds, I think. You know, they had big crowds to start with. So in 2000, New Zealand crowds had increased by 7.27%.
Right.
Since 2015, as the Hurricanes, Blues, Chiefs and Crusaders had larger average attendance than they did 2 years previously.
Wow.
The Hurricanes were attracting, on average, 16,000 to West Park. 3,000 more.
Westpac.
3,000 more than in 2015. Blues crowd sizes were up by 20%.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was the Highlanders crowds declined down from an average of 18,000 to, I think, 16,000.
Oh, right. So gone. Still quite a few numbers, though.
Yeah, but quite a big decrease, really. Next question for me, mate.
Yes, God. Okay, you're off to a good start.
Well, I've learned not to get too confident because you do like to make little comebacks.
I do. Who is New Zealand's leading point scorer? Richie Mwanga.
He had a terrible start with a boot.
Damien McKenzie.
No, he's injured.
Bowden Barrett.
Ooh.
Or Josh Ioane.
Oh, this is a really tough question because I know Ioane's had a real stormer with the boot. Mwanga's had a shocker with the boot.
But Mwanga scored a few tries, hasn't he?
He has scored a few tries, but I had a terrible, terrible start with the boot.
Yeah.
So for me, it's got to be out of Bowden and Ioane.
Okay.
Or it could be Mwanga. Bowden's been pretty good off the boot.
Has he?
They've scored a lot of tries. He's scored a few tries. I think it's, between Bowden and Ioane. I'm going to say Bowden.
You're wrong.
It's Ioane.
Yes.
It is Ioane, eh? So he's had an absolute beauty off the boot.
Ioane has got 96.
Oh, yeah, right.
Richie, 90.
Oh.
Bowden, 88.
Really?
And Damien McKenzie is on 81.
Damien McKenzie.
81, yeah. But can I just say, Pollard.
Yeah.
So the South African, 161.
Yeah.
And then you've got Bernard Foley and Bryce Hegarty.
Yeah.
They're both on 115.
Just kicking, eh? Just, you know, Pollard just smashed over loads and loads of kicks. Been very, very good. Rich Mwanga, if he'd started the season well, he'd be up there too.
Yeah.
Next question for you.
By the way, you got that wrong.
Yeah, I know.
Just
I know.
So the listeners knew.
I got your obscure question wrong, yeah?
It was a good question.
It was actually pretty
it?
Good for you, actually. In 2018, which Australian franchise has seen the worst crowd sizes? Was it the Rebels? Was it the Waratahs? Was it the Brumbies? Or was it the Reds?
The Reds.
100%?
Yeah.
Final answer?
Yes.
You're wrong.
Uh-huh.
The ACT Brumbies. Now, let me give you some stats.
Can I just say, though, I was quite confident. Well, I wasn't confident. I just wanted to get your awful question out of the way. These questions, they suck.
Okay. They suck. But anyway, the Rebels, on average.
Okay.
The Melbourne Rebels, on average, had 9,821. The Queensland Reds, who you thought had the worst crowd sizes, had second best, 12,000. The Brumbies, 8,391.
That's low, eh?
It's shocking.
Yeah.
And the Waratahs, 14,000, the highest with the Waratahs.
Wow.
So there you go.
Terrible
figures, really.
Gosh.
You know, but even 16,000, like the New Zealand sort of teams are pulling in, still not great. No. When you've got a 40,000, 30,000 seater stadium, it's half
just
empty.
Looks empty, doesn't it?
Looks empty. And some of those games are literally empty because some of the games are almost full.
Yeah.
Next question for me, mate. And the final question for you to me.
Oof, here we go.
Can I just say I can only draw? It's the worst that can happen now is I can draw.
I can lose. So I've actually changed
the question. Yeah, is this because No.
So initially, my question was, which New Zealand team is the most penalised? Now I've changed it to the least penalised. Is it the Blue? I'm just going to... Blues, Hurricanes, Highlanders, Chiefs or Crusaders?
So there's five options. Yeah, gee, thanks.
Oh, come on, mate.
It's not the Crusaders. They're the most penalised, and that's why you've taken it off, because I would have known that.
Yes.
Thanks for that, yeah.
So you changed your question. Yes. I changed it before this started.
Straight away, I'm thinking Highlanders. That's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
Highlanders.
Is that your final answer?
Final answer.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
You're correct.
Yes, that's why I'm correct. That's why I'm sure, big fella.
Why?
Oh, I've just watched their games, mate, and they play arguably as a team. They work really well as a team, and the team's more important than the individual, and therefore they've obviously said we don't want to give away penalties, and they're not giving away penalties. Whereas you look at the Crusaders, you look at the Hurricanes, they're dipping in too much.
I'll give you some stats. So we've got the Highlanders on 91.
You've actually got some stats.
Yeah, 91 penalties. Yeah. Then the second is the Blues on 104.
Yeah.
Chiefs, 106.
Mm.
Then you've got the Hurricanes on 135. And you've got the Crusaders at 139.
I'm really surprised that the Crusaders aren't further ahead than that. I'm a bit bitter about their penalties this year as well. Can you tell that? I'm a bit bitter and twisted. Moving on. This is a great question.
This is going to be an awful question.
It's a great question. What is the biggest crowd size to ever watch a match live?
Oh, God. Oh, that is an...
Is it?
We've swapped roles in this, haven't we?
Is it 85,000, 95,000, 100,000 or 110,000?
110,000.
Where? No idea, mate.
Good stats. What were the options again?
85,000, 95,000, 100,000 or 110,000. Rounded up. All of these are rounded up. So, you know, you didn't get 100, you didn't get 85. It would have been either or rounded down, whichever way you go.
Okay, maths teacher. God. I would not have a clue.
Well, you have to choose. It's A, just, you know, go to the pick a mix
110,000.
You were correct.
No. What?
Yeah. And it was.
110,000.
110,000. The actual figure was, the official figure.
Right.
Was 105,000.
Okay.
But it actually, in what they really think it was 109,875 people. 874.
Can I just have a look?
Just wait. I'm going to go through it. You'll love this. It was the New Zealand-Australian Bledisloe Cup match 2001 when Lomu scored to win.
Oh, yeah.
That was a
hell
of a crowd.
How did they fit that many people in that stadium?
It was in, I can't remember.
Was it in Sydney?
Oh, I don't know. Can't remember. I have to look it up.
Yeah.
But it's amazing. Now, listen to this. The biggest World Cup match ever seen was 89,000
people. Was that the first ever final?
No, it wasn't. I thought straight away it might have been South Africa. You know, New Zealand, South Africa.
Oh,
final.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. It was actually New Zealand v Argentina in the 2003.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, no, sorry.
Oh,
God. No. It was New Zealand v Argentina. I can't remember which World Cup it was. Sorry, it's terrible work here. And it took over the 2003 final.
Right, okay.
So that was the biggest before that point. But I would have imagined... you know, you'd put them into the biggest stadiums. Back in those, you know, back in the glory days, they just really pushed them in, though.
Yeah.
And they had, like, standing seats.
Standing areas,
yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
So that means quiz. I've won.
Yes, mate.
2 points to one.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to, next time we do the quiz, I'm going to do it on how many blades of grass are on each pitch. Because that's how ridiculous those questions were.
I thought
were.
These were really good. We always talk about crowd sizes, and we're just saying that's what's possible.
It's topical, but...
And this week, we've
why'd
seen...
Why'd you make it so hard?
I think it was the Sharks.
What percentage?
The Sharks.
What percentage of crowd has decreased from the year before? What is that? No, don't even
this
try
week,
and argue
this week
that
on
point.
Twitter, they put out, I think it was the Sharks or the Stormers, they put out that they're doing a real good sale on tickets, and I worked it out. It was like 5 pounds
right.
for a ticket, or $10 for a ticket for this for an adult. I would be so surprised if they didn't sell out or get very close. And that's how you got to sell out these stadiums.
Yeah, definitely.
And I bet you, when it was that New Zealand versus Australia, there would have been some affordable tickets on sale. The last thing we're going to do, mate, is very quickly run over the games that have taken place so far. Very, very quickly. We've got, so far... We have had
Chiefs versus the Reds was our first game, wasn't it?
Yeah, 19-13. I'm just going to very quickly say Reds could have, should have, would have, but didn't. Yeah.
They Chiefs, had a huge opportunity at the end of the game.
Chiefs defended amazingly well, but arguably Chiefs could have scored 5 or 6 tries in the first half, so we're going to give it to them. The Brumbies versus the Bulls.
22-10 to the Brumbies,
I
called it.
You picked it, didn't you, that there wouldn't be any more points scored after like half time, and there wasn't. So, and who got a hat trick?
Kurandrani. Yeah. He played well, to be
really
fair.
Really well. And we've seen the Rebels play.
Rebels absolutely thrashed
the Sunwolves. And right now, we are. This shows how much this means to us. We're missing the Crusaders game.
Well, it's next door.
We're missing that. We're going to play watch that back.
Yeah.
But anyway, it has come to the end of this podcast. Thank you all very much for listening to us.
I know it's been a bit different, but I think it's been a real good one.
Well,
I've been absolutely roasting you, so I think I'm the pick of the bunch today.
I think you are as well. Anyway, it's been a pleasure. We'll see you, hopefully we'll hear from you, or you'll listen next week.